Welcome to the Conversations with Jesus podcast. I'm Johnny Lehman, a baptized man of God who has the amazing blessings of being a husband, father, and the pastor at Divine Savior Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. This podcast is designed to bring you the self-sacrificing love of Jesus found in the Bible through 15 to 20 minute episodes that focus on relevant life issues and what God has to say about them. Check out our website, DivineSaviorChurch.com, as well as our Facebook and Instagram pages if you'd like to find out more about the incredible things that God is doing through our church family. This past week for me has been one where God has reminded me why I love being a pastor. People letting me into the most difficult and deep moments of their lives. And I sit there and I think to myself, how in the world is somebody like me here? And yet there Jesus is, reminding me again and again that his grace is sufficient for me and that he can use somebody like me to bring the good news to people in hospital beds, struggling with deep mental health issues, knowing it's not on me to fix the issue, but it's my opportunity to share a love and a grace that not cancer, not blood clots, not pornography addiction, none of that can stop. And so it's just a joy. It's a joy to be a pastor. It's a joy to be the pastor here at Divine Savior Church. And I cannot thank my God enough for the mystery that it is to me that he would choose somebody like me to get to be a pastor. It's amazing. And there's so many mysteries like that in life. You know, so many of us, we enjoy the suspense of a mystery thriller, you know, those books and movies that keep us on the edge of our seats. But there are other mysteries that are more personal. Why is it that I'm going through what I'm going through? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why does it seem like there is so much wrong in our world and so little right? Well, today we're going to look at a huge mystery. The mystery of suffering, the mystery of the joy that we have as Christians, even when everybody else in the world would think we're crazy. We have a joy that's all completely wrapped up in Jesus, and it makes even our sufferings our greatest glory. I cannot wait to share this conversation with Jesus with you this week. Have you noticed how we as people have a lifelong obsession with fairness? And just to illustrate that point from my own life, I remember that our big project for my senior year in high school physics was to create a popsicle stick bridge that could handle 15 pounds of weight. And the only adhesive you could use was Elmer's glue. Now, I am not scientifically gifted at all. The fact that I escaped high school science without setting the school on fire with a Bunsen burner shows that God is truly real. But I was gung-ho on acing this project. So I spent, I kid you not, upwards of 10 hours working on having just the right design. Meanwhile, my roommate, we went to Luther Preparatory School, he was also my best friend, and he literally didn't start the project until the night before it was due. He stayed up till at least midnight, and I chuckled myself to sleep, imagining his bridge exploding within the first 3 pounds of weight. So we get to class, and it was my turn to test my bridge. And it was a close call, but it was able to hold the 15 pounds of weight. But the second one more pound was added, it collapsed. Well, next up is my friend. He sets his bridge down, and the weight starts being added. And I'm giddy. I'm waiting for those popsicle sticks to start flying. I'm thinking about all the clever one-liners I could use against him to rag on him. But then it happened. 5 pounds became 10. 10 became 20. 20 became 40. He set a new school record for the project. Over 200 pounds of weight before it finally broke, and I was livid. I'd spent 2 weekends to barely hit 15 pounds, and he had spent one night. It made a bridge that an NFL running back could stand on without breaking it. It wasn't fair. Can you think of similar events in your life when someone else did something or received something that you didn't think they were worthy to get? And maybe it wasn't over popsicle bridges. If it was, you should get in touch with me so we can commiserate together. But maybe it was over something far more serious. Situations like, how can I read my Bible, come to church, serve Jesus, and yet I haven't had a promotion in years, while my coworker, who is lazy, who just joined our company last year, has no connection to God, gets a promotion and a raise? Or, why is it that my child, whom I've shared Jesus with every day as they grew up, is no longer going to church, but my brother, who never cared for church, has church-going children? Or, well, why did God let my wife get cancer even though she loves him with all her heart? Deep within all of us is our idea of fairness. But what is often a mystery to us is how God sees fairness. We don't understand. We often can't see it. So how is this mystery of fairness going to be revealed to us? And there seems to be so little fairness in the world. Why is it that innocent children and teachers get killed in mass shootings while drug lords live in mansions in safety? How come people who do everything by the book get passed over by people who cut corners and cheat? How can it be fair that many women get paid less for doing the same job as men? How can kids keep getting cyberbullied and the bullies get away with it or get a slap on the wrist? These things bother us. They hit us in the deepest corners of our hearts, the God corner of our very being. Because the unspoken question behind every mystery of unfairness in our lives is this: how could God let this happen to me? We as people have a profound sense of worthiness, and it seems so mysterious when God does something, says something, or allows something that is far different from how we think the world and our lives should be run. And the Jewish believers in Ephesus could definitely sympathize with us in this way. So maybe you remember last week, Paul talked about in our reading that the Gentiles would have full access to God like the Jewish believers. Well, now he takes it one step further. He says in Ephesians 3, "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus." For you, me, and the Gentile believers, this is stunning news. Now, the mystery, the kind of mystery Paul is talking about, isn't a memento movie thriller type mystery, if you've ever seen that classic movie. This is a mystery in the sense that it was something God in his love had hid from us for our benefit, for our good, and only by his love he chose to reveal it to us. There have always been non-Jewish believers throughout history, but there was always a difference in status. God in his grace and wisdom decided to give a special prominence to the children of Israel. But now in Jesus, all people had that same special closeness to the Lord. Again, this is the all-encompassing, mind-boggling grace of God. But if you were a Jewish believer, fairness couldn't help but come to your mind. Many Jews didn't think the Gentiles deserved to have the full status of being children of God with unhindered access to God. After all, it was God's people, the Israelites, who had to go through brutal slavery. It was God's people who lived in the desert for 40 years. It was God's people, the Israelites, who were exiled, their cities burned to the ground, persecuted, murdered. How did the Gentiles fit into that when they were the ones who were often hurting the Israelites? Of course, that deep-seated anger of unfairness is often how we feel too. I was sitting in a living room this past week with a man who was going through some of the most trying times anybody could go through, and he asked me, "How do you explain why my best friend is dying? At the same time, a scam artist gets away with everything. Why do bad things happen to good people?" I can relate to what he's feeling. It's so easy to sinfully look at the injustice suffocating us and assume two false ideas: that number one, God doesn't care, and number two, that God isn't powerful enough to change it. Behind both of these false ideas is the pride in us that says, "I know what's best, and if God doesn't see things like I do, he's wrong." We are so quick to take the judgment seat and decide who's worthy of God's love. And if there's anyone who had earned the right to feel that way, it was Paul. Don't forget, he's writing this letter called Ephesians from a prison cell. He had been abused physically, emotionally, mentally. The justice system had completely let him down, even though he was a Roman citizen. And yet, did you catch the proud way that Paul declared himself, who he declared himself to be at the beginning of chapter 3? He says boldly, "For this reason, Paul, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." He doesn't shy away from the injustice he's faced. He sees it as a point of pride. Even several of the very people he is writing to, either personally or have friends who hurt Paul, but he is honored to be a prisoner because he's living out his faith. There's not a single hint of "why me, God?" Not a single sentence about, "oh, God is unfair," but do you catch what he said instead? He said, "I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory." Paul is saying, don't beat yourselves up because of what I've suffered for you. I am honored to have suffered so you could know the hope you have in Jesus. How could someone possibly see suffering in that way? It's because God revealed a mystery to Paul. He revealed to him who Paul was without Jesus. Remember how Paul described himself? He called himself the least of all the Lord's people. Behind every one of our "it's not fair, God" is the idea that we're deserving of God's grace, which is an oxymoron in and of itself, since grace means undeserved love. When God's law opens our eyes to see the mystery revealed that we have hurt God deeply time and again, and that we deserve absolutely zero goodness of our lives. In reality, it's amazing that good things happen to bad people. We begin to treasure. We recognize how we deserve nothing, that we actually deserve punishment, right? That we begin to treasure the ultimate mystery revealed, that Jesus came to rescue all people. He came to rescue me. He came to rescue you. What isn't fair is that God has given us heaven, identity, purpose, forgiveness, and hope. Such is the topsy-turvy nature of God's grace. When we look at our sins and our mistakes, now we don't deserve God's grace in the least, we treasure all the more the mystery that God would choose to love someone like me. That Jesus' suffering, the most brutal form on the planet, was truly his glory. It's the very thing he loves talking about. Why else did he keep the nail marks on his hands and feet and the gash in his side? So he would have a conversation piece to talk about what many would think would be the worst day of his life, but it was truly the best. Because it meant you would become his own very family. Become a part of a family deeper than blood. You are Jesus' glory, what he's most proud of. And if you are Jesus' glory, if he has removed any mystery or doubt through the cross, that he loves you at the deepest of levels, which he does, do you begin to see the beautiful unfairness of God? His grace that transforms even your very suffering into what you're most proud of in your life? The deepest corners of our hearts, where we question fairness, are the very places where God wants to reveal his love and purpose. In those moments that we cannot understand why we suffer, by faith, remember that God's ways and his sense of justice is far beyond ours. Knowing there is a reason for everything, and knowing those reasons all revolve around God's infinite love for us, open our eyes to see the mystery of suffering far differently. Your and my suffering isn't for nothing. Did you notice how Paul prides himself in being a prisoner of Christ Jesus, a servant of Jesus? Now he encourages the Ephesians to consider his glory, his suffering, their own personal glory. The suffering God has written into your story is not only there to bring you closer to him, which suffering certainly does. And as much as the world says otherwise, your suffering in his name isn't just for you. It's for others. Your suffering brings you into the closest space with Jesus. And those around you can't help but see it too. And I saw this unfold with Lisa Boucher, one of our dear sisters, one of our family members here at Divine Savior. I came into the hospital room this past Monday. Family members are there, MRI technicians there. And she takes my hand and says, "I know Jesus is ready for me." As I looked around this room, filled with people who love Lisa dearly, tears in their eyes, she looked at me with a kind of boldness only a daughter of God can have. She knew Jesus would see her through. She knew the greatest of hope. There really is no clearer picture of Jesus than when death is laid bare before a Christian. Lisa, in the most powerful way, was showing her children and that whole hospital team what life is truly all about. Her suffering was her glory. Her suffering gave me the hope of Jesus, just as Jesus is using Lisa and her witness right now to bring you extra hope too. Your suffering is truly your glory because it's in those moments you're at your closest with God, and that others see God so clearly through you. There's no mystery about it. As unfair as life can feel, it's never unmeaningful. Your pain is not wasted. Your suffering is your glory. Your suffering has a greater purpose than you can begin to imagine. It's an opportunity for God to reveal himself through you and bring hope to others. What God has in mind for your life, it really isn't all that mysterious. We can proudly call ourselves prisoners of Christ as we stand alongside Paul with the gift of being able to approach God with freedom and confidence. Our sufferings are truly our glory because God has chosen to use us to preach the unfair, undeserved, unmatched riches of his grace. We can trust him because his grace has given us everything, and there's no mystery about it. Amen. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to this podcast. It's an honor I could never thank the Lord enough for. And my prayer for you as you go through adversity this week and in your life is to remember that those moments of suffering are not there to harm you, but to bring you closer to Jesus. And I would love to reach out and connect with you and be with you on that journey, whatever journey God has placed you on, because we're not meant to do life alone. But as we follow our dear Savior, we follow him together, arm in arm. That's the beauty of Christian family, and that's the beauty of being in the people of God. God's richest blessings as you live for him this week and always.